you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
While we were talking about this and that at supper time, Walt's father started talking about the African custom of how the two parents decide on a mate for their children. And if the young man's parents have decided on the girl that they want their son to marry, then they take a goat to that family as a gift. And so he said, looking at my mother and me, he said, "So we have a little goat out in the car." We were shocked. I mean, we tried to be very cool about
it. We were sort of pushing things, didn't we?
We were amazed that he was intimating that things were going to happen because Walt and I, of course, hadn't had any dates yet. But then when he took us home to the dorm, my mother was staying with me in the dorm. He said goodbye to us. He said, "That goat will be coming along pretty soon." And again, we were shocked, and I was excited, you know, that he was thinking that way, but just amazed that he would actually assume that we were going to get together. Our courting was about 4 months. I stayed home that coming fall, the fall of my junior year, because I had gone to summer school, and I was worried that Walt wouldn't want to be living in the house if I were going to be there, too. So we had some kind of exchange of letters there where my mother was telling him when she would be back from a speaking trip and when he could arrive at the house. And I remember writing to him about that, saying that I would be at home and he needn't feel like he ought to live there if he didn't want to. And he told us he would, what day he was arriving. So it was from September, October, November, December, that he decided that he would live in my mother's house. And he lived downstairs in the basement, and I had my usual bedroom that I had in our home. And our dates, first of all, he started asking me to go for a walk with him on Sunday afternoons, and then it became once a week study breaks on a weeknight, and our excuse was to take the dog out for a walk, but our walks became longer and longer. And our first date was a dinner up in Maine. He took me to a restaurant up in Maine on a Saturday afternoon. That was real exciting.
Tell us what happened next after these afternoon walks.
When Walt and I were living in the same house, I was always impressed with his courtesy. He called my mother ma'am because he was from the South, so he'd always been taught to say yes ma'am, no ma'am. And on Sunday after church, my mother always had nice dinners where either we had company or we just did it nicely in the dining room with our formal china and linen and everything. And Walt always helped a lot with getting food on and clearing the table. And so we would wash the dishes together after Sunday afternoon lunch. And that's when we started our walks. And then it was probably one walk we had in November where he told me that he wanted me to know he was getting serious, that this was just not a fly-by-night fun relationship for him, that he really wanted me to know that his intentions were more serious than just a fun relationship. So I was excited to hear that, and being taught by my mother that I shouldn't be aggressive, that I should wait on the Lord, that I should let him take the lead, I just smiled whenever he made comments like that. One comment that seemed like he repeated several times, we would sit by the fire in the evenings toward the end of November, beginning of December, and he would say, "Maybe 25 or 30 years from now, we might be sitting in front of a fire together." And he always was intimating that someday we'd be married, but it would be a very long way down the road because he was so much older than I, and that I wouldn't be interested in marrying him until much later. Because at the time, I was 19 when we were courting, and he was 27. So that was one thing that I had worried about in getting to know him. And I asked my mother one time, what did she think of a relationship where the man was 9 years older than the woman? And she said, "Well, I'm the wrong person to ask," because she said, "My first husband was 1 year younger than I. My second husband was 18 years older than I." And so she said anywhere in between would be just fine.
Seems to me that I heard once that Walt had the same question. Didn't he come to you, Elizabeth?
Yes, he did. I'm sure he was closing in for the kill at that point, but still had this little doubt in his mind as to whether it was wise for a man to marry a woman 9 years younger. And I think part of the reason that it seemed strange to him was because he had two sisters older than Val,
who were not married.
To him, were just little kids. And he really thought of Val as being more mature than these two older sisters. But every time he realized what her age was, he had a few doubts.
And yet his attitude was, when I go back to Wheaton, I would definitely want to date around some. And so he always thought I was just being kind to him, to be nice to him. And I couldn't say to him, well, I'm getting serious about you too, because I didn't want to take too much initiative in that. I remember one time him saying, now you go back to Wheaton in January. I was planning to go back for the rest of my junior year, and you date around as much as you can, because he said, I know there are all kinds of All-American football, swimmer types, players that would want to date you. And I remember thinking, how do I say, well, I don't want to date anybody else? Because he said, well, I said, okay, well then, turnabout is fair play, then you go back to the seminary and you should date just as much if you want me to date out at Wheaton. He said, oh no, I've already found the girl that I want to marry. But he hadn't asked me to marry him yet, so I smiled and kept quiet. It was probably only about a week later that he told me that he loved me. That was in December, and then about a week later that he asked me to marry him. So we had also talked about my grandfather's advice to his sons when they were growing up was, don't ever tell a girl that you love her until you are ready to ask her to marry you. And so when he first told me that he was getting serious, then when he told me that he loved me, he said, I know that means a lot more than just how it's taken in the popular sense, I love you. But so I knew that probably the proposal would come to me pretty soon. It was hard to be patient, but I did wait. And December of 1974, when did Daddy die, 74 or 73? 73. Mm-hmm. December of 74 is when he asked me to marry him. And I was determined to finish college before we got married. He had 5 months left in seminary, so we talked about a long engagement, and we decided that we would be willing to do that.
This was the middle of your junior year, right? So
right.
You had a year and a half
mm-hmm.
to finish.
So we were engaged for 17 months, and that summer of my junior year, I went to England. It was a Wheaton in England program, and he had started his first pastorate that summer. So he was in Southwest Louisiana. And during that 17 months, we only saw each other 5 times. And they were quick, short trips, you know, when we got to see each other.
What would you say to young people today that say that you have to do a lot of dating to get to know one another, that you have to be together a lot? That wasn't the case with you, was it?
It wasn't. And it seems to be certain types of people, I don't know whether it's personalities or what it is, but that feel the need to really talk about a lot and talk about everything and get down to everything serious before they've really decided to get married to each other. And it also seems that a lot of couples are talking about marriage and deciding together, you know, at the same time, do I want to marry you and do you want to marry me? And we'll talk about this and discuss this a lot. And that wasn't the case at all with me. I believed in the old-fashioned way of trusting God that the right man would ask me to marry him at the right time. We didn't have a lot of discussion about it. When Walt would mention this thing maybe 25, 30 years down the road, it was always in a lighthearted way. He was, as we said, he was very warm all the time, but we didn't feel the need to discuss what it would be like when we got married until after, of course, after he'd asked me to marry him.
Elizabeth, what do you say to these young people today that, as Valerie has said, it's like they want to be sure there's a yes. You decide mutually together to get married. Is this right?
I spoke to a large singles group just this past weekend, and one of the things that I tried to emphasize was that I feel that males in America today are unfortunately very irresponsible, many of them, maybe most of them, and that there is a failure of courage in a man when he has to have all the cards on the table all the woman's cards on the table before he has the courage to say, "Will you marry me?" Nobody wants to be rejected. But part of what it means to be male and masculine is courage, and the courage to risk rejection. And these were principles that both of my parents instilled in me. It is the man's job to do the wooing and the winning, and he's the one that has to make a decision and take the initiative and take the risk of rejection. So not only are many dates not necessary, I only had two dates with Jim Elliot. One was a Coke in the student center for about an hour, and the next was a missionary meeting in Chicago at Moody Church, and there was no meal before or after. He didn't have any money for that. Not only are dates not necessary, but intimacy of any kind is not necessary. I feel that as soon as you begin getting emotionally intimate or spiritually intimate, as so many young Christians are doing today, getting very, very involved with Bible study and prayer on a one-to-one basis, very dangerous business. Spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy lead almost invariably and inexorably to physical intimacy. And I have files full of letters from earnest Christian kids that say, and somehow or other, we ended up in bed.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.